We left off starting with the question of why. Tachav lo chaver le toch piv. So what was the Gemara's assumption there? The question was, if tachav lo chaver le toch piv, does that mean chaver was chayev and he is patur? And in which case, he's patur on the nezek, but he is chayev on the hano when he swallows? Or does it mean that tachav lo chaver le toch piv, chaver is not the kone, but he is not kone until he swallows. It's in the, it's in his mouth, and therefore, he is pater because of only because of kamle rabin the rabinay, because the chiyav mamon is simultaneous with the chiyav of misa. Whereas if had he picked it up with his hand and put it in his mouth, so the chiyav mamon comes when he's magbiyai, and the chiyav misa comes when he actually swallows it. There are a couple of issues we should actually talk about briefly. I don't want to deal with them at great length. But when does the Chiyuv Misa actually come? Person eats Macholos Asuros, when does the Chiyuv come? Okay, so that seems to be the case. Ad Debala Lagamre. So there are a couple of interesting halachic pieces in Sugyos and Shas that touch upon this question. Why is it that you're chayev when you're balalai? What is the hanah that you got? What hanah? That is one possibility. There's another possibility. What? Hanas grona. So there's a gemara, which if you did your day with me, you wouldn't have done. At the end of the seventh parak of Chulin, at the end of Gedan Asher, the part that nobody does. I mean, nobody does. When you do your day, you don't typically do it. So the Gemara is on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. When I was a Talmud in Yeshiva, I did Chulin via the office Bechina. It was an option not granted to everyone. I got special permission to do both semesters. My advice to you is that if you went back in a time warp and you're a smicha student, don't do that, because Rabbi Charlat made up the bechinos, and those bechinos could be long, hard, and on random topics that were in the material that you would never thought to be asked from. So I remember I did shechita, I had to do the first two parakim of Chulin, and he asked me a question on Basar Taiva in the Midbar, because it was a tosis in the first parak. It stood out, because one of the questions I know I didn't know the answer to, I don't know about the rest of it, but you know. But I had to do the entire first two parakim, and if you know what Chulin looks like, you know the first two parakim are very long. That's a fair assumption. So I don't even know. I think I only had to do Kalabasar, so I don't know why I know this Gemara at the end of the. Maybe I had to do the end. Get it, when you do Yeridea, those who did Yeridea with me, a couple of you did it. Dovi, you did Yeridea. You know, you have to do like four blot, starting with Daf Tzadivav, and then you do the eighth parak. So, but this is the stuff at the end. So the Gemara asked the following Shaila. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ochal chati zayis v'hikio v'chazav ochal chati zayis acher chayev. So if you eat half a kazayis, you spit it out, you regurgitate it, then you eat a different half kazayis. So and then doesn't matter what you do with that, you're chayev. Why? Because he says, harenene grono b'kazayis. Okay, his garon got hana from a kazayis, even though he doesn't have a kazayis in his stomach at one time. But ba Rabbi Elazar. No, there's a piece before this also. One second. There's a piece before this, which is by Eiver Menachai, if you split it in half. And normally Eiver Menachai has to be eaten Shalem. But if you split Eiver Menachai, and in order to be an Eiver Menachai, it has to be an Eiver Shalem. If you cut it in half, and you eat one half of Kazayis, then you know the half of Kazayis, what's the din? So it's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yochayev hare nene grono be Kazayis, Reish Lakish amapater, Achila b'meyam b'inan v'leka. Okay, there has to be a shir achila when it first goes down into the stomach. And later the Gemara has this question. Which is, if you eat, I read you one part, but if you eat half a kazayas, you regurgitate it, and then you swallow that half a kazayas again. So the Gemara suggests that that it's totally upon basar grono aslinon or basar meav aslinon. Do you follow the throat? Are the throat swallowed two kazayasim, or the meayim, which only had in the first place a half a kazayas, sum total in it, and the same half a kazayas? So let's assume for the moment, though. So now that leads me to the next sugya I wanted to mention to you, and it's halach lemaaseh.
What?
What was the maskana?
Which is very.
I think we say hanas grono be'inan. That's the maskana. He says that amale mofe sadal zinan segin amrit kamir amale harei nena grono be'kazayas. That's what he says.
Can we
assume that this Gemara is working with that maskana? Doesn't have to be, but for the moment, there's nothing that makes me think that the Gemara isn't working with this maskana. But now I want to ask the next question. Is there an issur of putting the food in your garon if you spit it out?
Well, what's
hana'a
grono?
What?
What is hana'a grono? What hana'a are you? What is hana'a there?
Hanas grono seems to be it's not it's, a taste seems to be a component there, right? Hanas grono is, if it makes it to your throat, you've tasted it for sure. So that one of the issue that comes up halach lamais, I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the sugya, is, are you allowed to taste food on a fast?
Whether
ti'ima is mutter. So the question is, what does ti'ima mean? There's a gemara in brachos at the beginning of the second parak. I think it's in the bottom of yudalad amid bet. Yud gimel amid bet. Yudalad amid bet. Where the Gemara says that you can have te'ima on a fast.
I don't know if that means that you spit it out or not.
Correct. At the bottom of your... No? I thought it was. Where's the halal Gemara? Did I make up where the Gemara is? Anybody know where the Gemara is? What's that? I'm worried. I thought it was here. Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. It's on Yudal Alam and Aleph. Not so. Okay. Ashari betanis mahu shiyito machila shtiya kabalalava leko dum hana kabalalava ika. Samalei toim ve'emakach klum. Okay. So Tanya Nami Hachim Atemas in a tuna bracha Vashar Vitanis Toim Vem Kachlum. Ad Kama Ramami Ravasi Tame at Shir Riviyasa. Which is in question. If you're not swallowing it, so then who cares what the shear is? You're spitting it out. So anyway, it's a Gemara to think about it. Now, it brings me to the third point that I want to make, which is relevant here, which is the Tosis Yishanan that was printed on the side of the Gemara. What happens? I think we can agree for the moment that if you eat food but you don't swallow it, you spit it out, you're not chayiv. Mutar asur is a separate question, but you're not chayiv. So here's a very basic question: what happens if I chew on the food and then I swallow it? So when I chew on the food, and let's say we have a pause, we have a commercial break, and the food is still in my mouth. So right now, my chayav a pater. Pater, is the food in my mouth edible? If I remove it from my mouth, chewed up now, would any human being subsequently put this in their mouth?
Yes.
No. Ordinarily, no.
Although, like free chewed food, it's like actually a thing.
Okay.
That's what we talked about yesterday.
We spoke about this yesterday, and I will say nothing more on it. I will say again, you know, that except for maybe for babies, we do not generally chew food for people. We have other methods of doing it because we consider, generally speaking, to be unappetizing. So, what's that? Of course they consider it unappetizing. Our Gemara said, Kevan de la'ase. That was the first.
Spit it out.
Chews it up, yeah. So normally the way you eat food is you chew it and you swallow it. That's generally considered the civilized fashion. That's the way people normally eat food. So the question would be, why are you chayiv eat chazir? First you chew it. By the time it comes, you're not chayiv yet. By the time it comes to swallowing, so the food is totally inedible. It's very, very clever. Now, obviously, now if you're a lamdan, you'll say, maybe the Torah is only mechayiv you when you swallow it whole. The only problem with that, what?
That's what the
lamdan
would say.
I don't know. I mean, because the balabas, the balabas would say, obviously, if the Torah is mechayiv you for. Prohibits you eating ma'achalas asuras, obviously that doesn't disqualify whatever the reason is. He knows that even if you eat your food and chew it, you're chayav. But the lamda might say, maybe you're only chayav with bala. But it raises its own problems, because if you assume, it's possible that even bliya is called achila. You learn the sugya in Arei Pesachim that bala matza yatza, bala mara lo yatza, right? Because you need time in the mara. So presumably, you could say that bliya is considered achila, because matza be'erf tochlu matzos, and bliya is matza, even though you don't really taste it, is considered achila. In fact, that reminds me of another Gemara that is relevant to the previous discussion, which is the Gemara says, I think if you put the matzah inside like a sieve, a capsule of some kind, so I think the din is you're not yotze. That's not achila, because you don't taste it at all. It doesn't touch the throat or something like that, which suggests, by the way, that the garon, like Rabbi Yochanan's maskana, is really the essential. It has to be swallowed, but it's got to pass through the garon. It's got to touch the garon.
The food itself.
It's very much analogous, if any of you learned Hilchos Nida, to roa dam bishvo feres, if you know that sugya. That's a very interesting. I never thought about the parallel until now. But anyway, so the bottom line is obviously...
Anyway.
What did you just say?
It's clearly not biased to the person who just chewed it and ends up swallowing it. Damn, it's still a chila.
I understand that, except that what is the din by somebody who eats food? Right from the Mishnah, I'll tell you why what you're saying I think is incorrect. The din on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah states, is that achal ochlam shehrim mi'achila and shasam ashkam shashia, so you potter. So I don't understand, but you just ate it and drank it. The fact that you swallowed it doesn't mean it's roi l'achila. I assume the Mishnah in Yoma means that by an objective level, this food is not considered edible, because you're a Meshuggah. When we say that Nevela Shein Ruya Lager, I've had that proved to you further. We say that Nevela
Shein. It's Shavu L'Kol Nefesh, because everyone agrees that the thing that they themselves chew is something that they themselves will swallow.
Okay, so I think that the simple. So let's take a look for a moment. I was going to point out, do you know what the Iser Achshave is? It's the whole Shaila over gelatin stuff. If something is rendered into a non edible form, but then you eat it, because in other words, gelatin is not edible, whether or not that creates an issur or not. It's machlokas, I think, the Russian Rabbi Yona, where the achshave, there's an issur d'rabbanan on that. So if you assume, like some, but both assume that midaraisa, it's not asa, right? So even though you're eating it, that in itself doesn't make it ocha. But I agree, everybody eats food that they chew. But instead, what?
Are gelatin not edible?
Because in the processing form, it's reduced to, let's say, a powder form, which is totally inedible. Same thing with if you have rennet, that were reduced to a certain form, it might be inedible.
Sugar is powder also.
What?
Sugar is powder also.
Yes, but I know. It's a tasteless, yucky. It may be tasteless or yucky tasting powder. Sugar is not a yucky tasting.
No, but
powder.
It's because it's not doesn't taste good, not because it's powder.
Correct. Okay. But if it were in its original form, people eat marrow out of the bone all the time.
Okay.
Or lots of people do. I don't, but lots of people like to suck the marrow out of the bone, and that's where that's one of the primary sources. What?
Okay.
So Tosis Yishan. Let's take a look at Tosis Yishan. We got to find where it's on this page. Go ahead. Shua, you can read it. Go ahead. What?
It's on our daf.
Depending on, in the Ozma Hadar edition, it's printed in the left column, but I believe in the regular editions, the old editions of Vilna Shas, it's on the right side. It's in brackets in the margins. For those who have the Ozma Hadar, it's Aleph. V'im tom, I'll read. Iv tomar kevin de lahas lay niskalkel v'heich chayev tu alach ked amar perakame the krasis. Now, what's his rai? It's not just a svar rai. The Gemara there says, for background, you need to understand, there are three things that you're not allowed to do with truma if you're a zar. There are three things, and they seem to be prohibited in Minat Torah, but I'm not really sure about the third. One is achila, two is shesia, and the third is sicha. It's a physical bodily hana'ah. Okay, so you cannot be sach. A kohen is allowed to use shemen shel truma fesicha because that's a typical usage of it. It's not considered hefsed. But and therefore a zar the sicha is like shesia. In the Gemara and Yoma, in the eighth perek on Yom Kippur, it's coming up this week. So the Gemara says minayin l'sicha shehiki shesia shenemar v'tavoch v'chamayim bikubo u'chashemen pa'atz mosav. So the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Balei Tosfos assume it's an Issur Rabbanan Lagamrei, and of course it's not Smachta. But even the Rambam who holds that Shari Nuyim is an Issur Daraisa, but there's no Kares on it because it's Lo Masar Nakasav El Chachamim. Pashtus is the Pasuk is an Asmachta. The reason why Sicha is Asur Min HaTorah is because the Chachamim are Koveh to be Asur. It's not Mamish Kishasiyah because if it were like Shasiyah, you'd be Chayv Kares on it. So, but it seems that by Truma, this might be, this might be a Din D'oraisa. So what does the Gemara in Kresus say? It says that Kohen Shesach Shem and Shel Truma, so the Kohen already anoints himself with the oil, so Ben Bito, who is a Yisrael, potentially, his daughter's son, Misagel Bovein Ochoshe, she can sort of roll, you know, let's say he oils his chest, and now he's playing with his grandson, his grandchild. So the child can rub up against his chest and be nana from the oil, and it's not a problem. Why? Because he has consumed the oil already. Right? He has eaten the oil. He has done sicha with it. So you see that once it's been used, and presumably the reason is because people wouldn't, or I mean, in other words, people normally wouldn't, once you've rubbed, you can imagine, once somebody has rubbed the oil into their chest, you probably don't want to use it. So that.
He's already done the action that if
Azar
would have done, he wouldn't
chayef for. Would you please wait for his teretz? V'yesh lomar dehasam vada niskalkel shekvar nigbara kol hana aso aval hachalo nigbara kol hana aso b'lisa l'chudei. What it really mean? What does that really mean? All right, so now we can talk about what does this mean? You're still getting hana from the shemen after it was used. So again, it's niskalka that most people wouldn't use it, but you would swallow the food, and your child, grandchild might rub against your skin.
That doesn't seem to be the reason.
What's that?
From his raya, that doesn't seem to be the reason that we say it's mutter. Because it's niskalka. It's already been used.
What are you telling me? This is like Trumas Hadeshen is the exception that Kol Davar Shenaseis in Mitzvaso in Moalim Bo? Is that what you're suggesting?
No idea what that means.
It means generally by Kodshim, once the mitzvah has been performed with the object, there is no Me'ila anymore. It's in effect quasi Yotze Lechulin. But that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
I understood. I was explaining what you were suggesting. Okay. They didn't understand what you were suggesting, but that's what you're suggesting. Okay, that's all right. You did. You just the Malach taught you, and you forgot a few of the details. But you still, your neshama internally understood instinctively. So I think that that's not the way Tosus reads it. That's not what Tosus says. Tosus doesn't say nasis mitzvaso. I don't think that's what he means. I think what do you think? What else could he mean? Shua, come on. You're the. You see the Tosus?
Tosus Shanim.
You see the Tosus Shanim?
I mean, I see it now.
Okay. So again, I'll read you the answer. He says, "Yesh lomar dehasam vaday niskalkel shekvar nigmar kol hana asa, aval hacha lo nigmar kol hana asa b'leisa lechudei." How does that impact upon whether or not it's mekolkel or not?
I can't be mekolkel myself.
What's that? It's a very strange.
I think
what Tosus is really saying is that in defining, he's saying that this is basically we look at the action the way it's normally done. I think what it really means is that because hana of food is that you chew it and you swallow it, that's considered essentially one long action. If you interrupt it and you never ended up swallowing it, you might be potter. It might be an exception. But once you do swallow it, we look at it as meirosh riyatzof. We don't say, all of a sudden, you swallow, stop. Freeze the picture right here, and that stuff in your mouth is disgusting, and who would want to do it? The answer is, in fact, is you do swallow it. In a hanami, you do swallow. Why? Because that's part of the process of hana. That's the normal way of doing hana. But once a person rubs oil into that, but the raya is, even if you regurgitated it, normally, okay, I don't know what to do with the Gemara at the end of Gidon Asha, the Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Normally, you regurgitated it. You don't, you know, certainly if you chewed it, swallowed it, and regurgitated it, nobody, that's not normal. You don't then re-eat it. Not normal. I mean, unless you're a cow, it's a different question. But human beings don't do that. We don't chew our cuz.
So according to you, the Tosafot Shem, that the Havmina is, couldn't you split these things up, and couldn't it be...
It's in a Roi L'Achila, by the time you get to do the Maisa HaMechayim.
You want to say the answer is that he's now defining Achila, that from, you know, Achila Ad Sofa is going to be one Maisa?
Yeah, in other words, the derech of... No, yeah, I think so. In other words, once you chew it and swallow...
You would have said it differently now.
Again, when he says, "Aval hacha lo nigmara kol hana asa b'li isa l'chudei."
Wouldn't we have an issue since it's not simultaneous, or that we can break this up into steps? And the answer is there aren't steps.
Right. That's
but then that also just flies in the face of everything we're doing in the Gemara.
I know.
So that can't be the reading that tells you to shut it.
So how would you?
Unless he's ignoring Suvis.
So the question is the following. For the purposes of Achila, for the purposes of being Chayim, that may be the case. But for the purposes of other actions that transpire, just as if you stopped eating in the middle and spit it out, you would be Pater. For the purposes of determining, you know, I would say the following. To get around the problem for Agamar, I would say that the Mechayiv is the Rega Achron. But the fact that, in other words, it's the Rega Achron that's the Mechayiv. The fact that by the time you get to the Rega Achron, technically speaking, right before that moment, it's not edible in ordinary circumstances, that doesn't matter because that's the normal way you get Hana from it. So for the purposes of determining whether or not you've done the Maisa Aveira in effect, so the answer is, if you ate it from beginning to end, you chewed it up and swallowed it, so you got the Hana from it. But the moment that's Mechayiv you is actually the last moment, because if you didn't do it, you would technically be Pater.
Do you have Yuma
there? Or the Tosafot Shana and
Yuma? I don't know. Links, so it must be.
Yeah,
I'll check.
Where do you see?
Okay,
is there?
I have a link to go check out. I'm Tosos
Yuma. I'm Zayin. I'm an Aleph. Let's see what. Hold on.
I'm not sure if this is. It sounds like a difficult reading in Tosos Shanim. I guess you definitely.
I did not look. Let me see. I wasn't gonna. I didn't want to. I want to touch. Let me just see what. There should be a Tosos Shanim here. Does it say which Dibur Maschil?
No.
An Ein Zayin Amar Aleph.
There's a Tosafot that's now. And the Tosafot
Yishanim
that's quoted with
it. The Talminayin L'Sicha Shikishasiya.
The Tosafot
Yishanim
is on
Pei Aleph Amar Aleph. Oh, wait. So let me just see. He actually quotes the Gemara Chulin.
I have to assume that Lo Nigmar Hanaso is a response to Nitzkalkel. That's the definition of why it's not Nitzkalkel. Not that he's defining that. No, in actuality, I don't care about how simultaneous it is.
You'll say, why is it? In other words, if you spit it out right then, it would be Makulkel, wouldn't it? That's really what the question was.
His question was even the lais lay Nitzkalkel.
Right?
Isn't it not? He doesn't mention spitting.
I understand that, but it means when I look at it, let's say he were to spit it out, then right, we would say that's inedible.
I'm not sure if that's Tosafot Yishanim's question. That might be yours. I mean, couldn't you say that especially since it's a scenario that he wants to compare this, that how it is compared to this, isn't it similar to oil being used? That once you've sort of used it, even though there technically are some remnants afterwards, meaning
right.
I can oil myself and then
right.
someone can touch it afterwards, it doesn't have the idea of, that's the reason why they're connecting those two cases is not because the same thing is spitting out and comparing it to someone else.
It means
because
at this stage...
There's it's already been used based on us, but there's still a continuation
of
Hana.
Fine. And
there's
what's
the point in that one, the Hana is already finished. Here, the Hana is not finished, and therefore the processes are linked, but I don't think he's trying to say that, therefore, it's almost like the process from, you know, Tchilat Sofo. And he's saying it's not actually Mekalkel, because you're then, it's no longer really Mekalkel.
Because for the purposes of Kilkel, you look at the entire action. The normal way people do it. And even though technically if you were to freeze it, right, it's going to come down to the same thing.
I don't know. I wasn't going to go say that. You added that last time.
No, but what I mean, the bottom line is it is a bit cool right now because people normally get Hana this way.
I thought you were trying to say because there's still a continuation of Hana, the Hana is not finished. I think by definition, it's not with
Hana. But it's true by the other one as well. The Hana is not finished because you do get Hana from it. The child is a misagel.
And the reason why, and why do you think the kid, when why is he putter there?
Why? Because he says...
Is the issue of the kid getting that...
Nigmara kolhana also.
Is that an issue of Mitzkalkel?
Yes, well, that's what he says. And he says there, nigmara kolhana also, once the zaka, you know, once the grandfather is that's his language, nigmara kolhana also. But you're still getting hana afterwards. What do you mean nigmara kolhana also? Because that's the normal way you do it here. Here, the normal way you do it is that you chew it and you swallow it. And therefore, it's not considered nimra kalhana aso. This is not an arithmetic difference between the two. That here, there's more hana than there. It's at there because it's darko bekach. That's nimra kalhana aso. Here, because it's darko bekach, it's lo nimra kalhana aso.
According to you, einachinami it is mitzkalkel, but we don't care if mitzkalkel happens in the process. We view the overall process.
He doesn't say it's not niskalkel. He just says that it's the normal aval hachal nigra kol anasa b'lisa l'chudei.
He said v'yeshlam or tahasam by niskalkel. There they have niskalkel.
But why? But why shekvar nigra kol
anasa? That's true. I agree with that. But meaning he's
late. And he doesn't say aval hacha eno miskalkel. He says aval hacha lo niskalkel.
I think that's exactly. I mean.
So if he says there it's A and B and here it's not B. So I presume the equal factor is the B, not the A, because he doesn't repeat the not A. He doesn't say not A.
One, because I think he needs to say, especially because that's the whole question, he needs to, that the end needs to be somehow say and define it not as the kalkel.
But he doesn't say that. He doesn't even bother to repeat that and claim that it's
kalkel. I mean, one, because I think that's the whole, the idea of timing and whether things are simultaneous, and, you know, Tchilat Sofo, which is now you're considered Iker, is Chasur Ben HaSefer. That you're reading into it and you think that has
Nigmara kol hana aso. Gemar implies tchila and gemar. That's what it means.
Okay.
So I think that
gemar is like a timing thing, not about the quantity of like the amount of.
Gemar implies a process, a time process, a stage process.
Okay, I wasn't referring. I didn't think it was time as much like the quantity of hana left in the item.
It's possible. Okay, I can't. Zach?
Case.
Wait. I'm sorry. Guys, Schlein, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Are you going to try to beat up on him at least?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So then you go first. I don't know if Zach's going to help me out here.
If it's about the quantity of Hana'a, then what he's saying really doesn't make sense when you mark crisis. Because there's still some degree of Hana'a that's remaining in the son playing around in the father's chest, grandma's chest.
And you're saying time-wise.
I'm saying that if you're saying that
let's say it's about time.
If
so
it's
has time officially been?
Well, yeah, because the process of the Kohen's Hana is long since over.
Okay, the process of the Kohen's Hana is over, but the process of the sons is not.
Right now, I don't. It's the issue.
Why is that relevant? That's exactly the case we're talking about.
No, because the point is like once the
yeah, especially with time periods, the Hana of the kid just started.
No, right.
I'm not seeing it as times. I'm seeing it as stages.
About, like, the normal hana process of that oil. Once like that is not a normal hana process of the oil for the kid to play around.
Then it's over.
The chest. But the kid is gaining some measure of hana out of it. It's not the normal hana process, but it is some measure of hana, which the Gemara and Krasos at least as a hamamina.
But because nigmara kol hana aso in the normal way, right? So now it's over. And it doesn't matter what hana has gotten afterwards. Azara can mean it from it. Whereas here, the normal hana is you chew it and you swallow it. And until you swallow it, it's not nigmar kol hana also. I see that it's not in time so much as stages.
And why does a stage the son never start? The grandson's...
No, because you look at the way it's normally done. Once you anoint yourself with oil, You're done. Nobody goes and scrapes the office. Your kid is rolling around on you. So in other words, kids. In other words, it is somewhat
about time processes. Then that's not. Then the scenarios are not related anymore.
In other words, there is a process of getting hana from a particular thing, and there are different stages of getting that hana. What?
If you do that, then we're not. I mean, I guess in the
maskana. And they're not comparable in the maskana. Okay. So you are right. I know you want to stay away from what I'm saying, particularly because it's going to wreak havoc with our sugya, and it's going to demand that you have to make a distinction between what I'll call, you know, the mechayev versus the, you know, the process. In other words, there are prerequisites to it, even though the chiyev hits you at the last moment, which is not crazy, I guess, because the bottom line is if you do spit it out in the middle, then you know you're not chayev.
The difference between the halim and the maskana tosi yishanim is like if you split up the process as we could easily do. Wouldn't you reach anything? And the answer must be, well, you must not be able to split up the processes. That's basically the answer to the question. I mean,
because it makes no sense to split up what is effectively one action into multiple parts. Because
I
mean, when the way
I didn't have the halamim in the beginning, like what changed in halamim is going to other than like I guess I can't say that because I don't. Would it be useful for shas?
But because he's focused on the kilkul question. In other words, his assumption was. That one, the reason why people don't normally use the oil after someone else is anointed with is because it's not nice. And the same thing is true after you chew. When Tosus didn't realize, he said it's true in a hanami that from a physical perspective, the degrading of both materials may be the same, but because one is normally used that way and discarded, and one of them, the process of eating means you start and you do render it as temporarily inedible until you then swallow it. Right? So that doesn't change the fact we don't care. We don't stick a knife in the middle and cut it in half and say, oh, you know, it's over now and it's inedible, so you're potter. We don't do that. That's the point. The answer is that it is that you cannot arbitrarily, you cannot just pick a point in the process, look and say, oh, mokoko, you're potter. But rather, you have to look at the normal process as a whole. I don't care that in the interim, it was rendered inedible, if you want to call it that. Because that's irrelevant, because the normal way of getting hana is to chew it and swallow it. The normal way of getting hana is to anoint yourself and move on. So now, in this case, that you anoint yourself, and now you're playing with your grandkid, you know, and bonding, very nice, but that doesn't mean there's an iser hana on it. Because it's makulkal, and it's not the normal way you would get hana from it. Whereas this is the normal way you would get hana from it. Okay. Zach, and then I'm going to move on after this. I hear, but yeah.
His answer is just that like Rabbi Yochanan says in Chulin, which I call Chulin and Yuma, is that it's all about the Hadas Grona. Meaning, just because it's Miskalka now, you're still getting Hadas Grona, that you can be chayv on that alone.
Right, so, no, you're not chayv on that alone.
Why not? Rabbi Yochanan says you are.
Who says that if you spit it out, you're
part? No, I'm saying, in theory, not just because it's Miskalka, doesn't mean that it's nigmar kolana also that when you get the hadas grona, you no longer chayiv for it. You don't have to be, just because it's niskalka doesn't mean that you've lost out on the hadas grona. This guy's still getting hadas grona, now he's chayiv on the whole thing for hadas grona.
Well, no, because when he chews it in his mouth, that's not yet hadas grona.
Exactly. So now that it's niskalka, the Tosafot Shem is saying, who cares if it's niskalka? Just by chewing, he hasn't done all the hana. Rather, he gets hanas grono, like Rabbi Yochanan says, and he's chayav for that.
Yeah, but he's getting hanas grono on something that's makulkal, that's inedible, according to my normal standards. That's nifsal ma'achilas ha'adam. If I take a nevela that's not ruyi lager, it's rotted, a nevela srucha, and I chew it and I swallow it, I'm pater. The assumption. So again, that's a very different argument, but I don't think it's what Tosafot says, which is legabe your garon. It's not makulkal. That's what Shua wanted to say in the first place.
I think you actually have to say that also. If you realize the logic, you questioned it actually differently. But it's, the way it's written is because it's not nigmar, right? Nishlam or the hasan badin is kalkel shikvar. Therefore, it reads that right. It's kalkel because of A. So meaning if A, then it's kalkel. And then it says, but there was no A, therefore, not
Miskalko. See, again, it's very, why doesn't he repeat that? Okay, so it is...
You don't have to repeat it if it's an A, if A, then B.
I'm not sure, because, again, Vada Niskalko should nigra kalanasa, but you're getting hana from it.
Which
In the first half. Yeah, you so are getting hana.
What does Nigmar call it?
That, see, that's why I started by thinking about, I suggested what Zach was saying about this idea of Davar Shenaseis Mitzvaso Ein Ma'alin Bo. Right, that once you've used up the hana in the way that people use it, even though there's residual hana, you're not mischayef on that. Whereas here, the hana is an extended process because that's the norm.
Yeah, so why do you
chunk
the process word again?
What?
Why do you chunk the process word again? Like, you could have continued your logic and continued the conversation without going back to the process issue.
No, but the point is, he's asking a question. He's asking a question because he sees that there's a point where you can stick something and stop the process.
Yeah.
That was his question. And his answer, I think his answer is, you don't stick something and stop the process. You look at the normal process, Meirosh V'Atzof, and then you see what's going on. And by you do the same thing by the Shemin. By the Shemin, the process ends after you rub it into your skin. That's why it's about, that's why, and at that point, you only analyze at that point. At that point, it's this kalkal. It may be usable, you get a lahana, but you really don't get the ramahana from it there. By the same token, by the food, if I could stick if I could say stop in the middle, then I would look at it and say it's makoko. But because the normal process, the normal way to do it is to have an awe of Isa and then Blia, I don't stop in the middle to look at the process, to look at where it stands at that stage.
So that's going to be about the process of Achila.
What?
Not the issue of when you're high.
Correct. It's about the process of Achila. So that's why you're going to have to say in the sugya that, but the Machayev somehow is different. Right? The process is necessary. I mean, there's no way without it. The process is necessary, but the Machayev is the last moment. Yes, Moshe?
Yeah, if it's Mekulkal, is it still Truma?
There's no Isser on it.
Okay, but it still is Truma.
What's the Nafkamina?
No, I'm just curious.
But right, so I don't know the answer to the question, but the way I usually think, I know that you learned in Gush, right?
Yes.
And so, sorry, I don't mean this to be. I know that many of you learn English, but my Talmidim know that my rule is that a distinction without a difference is not meaningful. So it's not because it isn't useful. By the way, it is useful. You might find nafkin later, but I think more in the terms of why is this going to matter. I understand the question: is it still truma? What difference does it make if a zara is allowed to be nene from it? So what does it mean that it's truma, but a zara can be nene from it? So that's why you have to come up with the.
So for all intents and purposes, it's not.
I think so.
Okay, fine.
Right. But in other words, you have to come up with some type of something that would hinge upon that. You know, for all the nafkaminas that I can think of immediately, it's not truma anymore. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So now. So now the Gemara had said that the guy sticks it into his mouth, and therefore the assumption was he is not chayev until he swallows it. And because he's not chayev on whatever he's chayev, whether it's on all of it, whether it's in hana, he's not chayev until he swallows it, and therefore he's pater because of kam lebed rabbi b'nei, according to Abaye's understanding, Rav Nachuni ben Akona, because misa b'dei shamayim is poter mamon. And Rava would say that he's chayev, even though there's misa bidei shamayim simultaneous with the chiyuv of mamon, because it's not kares. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara asks a question. Sof. Okay, Yaakov, would you like to read for us?
Sof, kerem de le isa kanya.
So the Gemara says what? That kevan de la'ase kanya.
When I chew something, then I'm kona.
So why are you kona if you chew it? Yes, you put the piece of food in my mouth. I immediately expel breath and force it and send it flying across the room. Repulsed by the idea of a mazar eating truma. Okay, so the truth is,
so changing the lock on a door. You're using it.
That's not changing the lock on a door. Okay, so there are a few possibilities here. Possibility one is la'ase means you made a shinui in it. It's different. It will not return to its original state. Not that extensive processes of nature and going through digestion and eventually coming out and going through this cycle of nature and coming back. So it's not chozer libriyaso. It's shino sheino chozer libriyaso. So that's one possibility. So you made a shino in your kona that way. Another possibility, simply, which is sort of related to it, is not that your kona so much, but when you chew it, what have you done? You're mazik it right then. Until then, it was perfectly edible. I go and I'm now mazik it, so now I'm chayiv for the hezek. And how much am I chayiv? I'm chayiv for the entire thing. There is another possibility, which is not based upon this nosach, because the Me'iri apparently had a girsa in which this doesn't exist. I shouldn't say that. The Hagos Tzionim quotes a gemara that doesn't, quotes a nosach that doesn't have this girsa, which just doesn't have kevan delase kanye mischayiv v'nashal ha'dabala, but rather it just says now this nusach doesn't, Sam will confirm this for me, I asked him to check yesterday, does not exist anywhere in any of our manuscripts. That doesn't mean it didn't exist, it means it just doesn't exist in any of the manuscripts we possess. And he points out, if you look at the Me'iri, it sounds like he doesn't have the comment about la'ase, and the reason for that is the following. Because there is another way to explain why he's chayiv. How is he kona it? He's not kona it because of shinui. He's not kona it because of mazik. He's kona it because it's a kinyan chotzer. It's like a yad. If you put it in my hand, I'm kona it. You put it in my mouth, I'm kona it.
Yeah.
So right now, once you say, no. Who asked that question? So, Spence, you're correct. If we're against your will, no question, the chutz is not kona, but we haven't really...
Why not?
What's that?
If you're going to the field and the cows in the field, isn't it the same?
No. I mean, firstly, that's not clear you would be kona the cow anyway.
Right.
Number one, in that case. Without intent, probably not. Number two, if it's like someone took a cow and threw it into my chutz, and I didn't want it there. Right? I'm not kona. Even if I don't care whether it's there or not, if they put it in my chutz, I might not be kona. If I don't want my chutz to be kona. So right now, I'm going to say yes. And even those Rishonim ultimately will say that we're dealing with onus. That's as some of the Rishonim point out. I forget who says this, because the Gemara will then say kigon she tochav lo chaver bebeis ablia. That implies a degree of force. Now, the truth is I'm wrong, because some say just on the word tachavle. But the truth is, if I put it in your mouth, you know, tachavle sabli implies to open up. It's like l'ita for a gummel. But I'm going to assume for the moment that yes, if you want to say like the Me'iri that it's the chatzer, so you have to assume that there's ratzon. Right? It won't work if it's bal karcho. Right? There is no your chatzer and your yad cannot be kona bal karcho. By a normal kinyan. There's an exception to the rule, obviously, which is Gerisha, but that's because it doesn't require Das Isha for the kinyan. Right? As if a man, even though he's not allowed to, violates the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, and even the Svardim, I know the Syrian Ksuba that I've seen incorporates into it the idea that you won't be Megarish Bal Karcha without the permission of the Beit Din Tzedek of Damascus. The Yemenite Ksuba, but the Syrian Ksuba. So if your man goes up to his wife and shoves a get into her pocket, so she's kona, even though he's not allowed to do that. Why? Because get that, you know, she can be Miskareshes Bal Karcha. It means that he can give her the get and she's kona Bal Karcha. If you throw into her chatzer, pashtus would be also that the chatzer should be kona. And remember, it's a Gemara in Gittin. So that was the third possibility. So the point, the Gemara's answer is tachav lo chaveiro aletoch piv. Therefore, he didn't do the hagbah, but he's kona. So now the Gemara says, but even so, when it's put in his mouth, yiboy mahadre, he could have spit it out right then. So either when he goes ahead and chews it, or chooses not to spit it out, he's kona either through chatzer or through nezek or through shinoi, whatever it is, he is kona the object. That's when he is mischayev mamon, but he's not chayev misa until he swallows. Even if you hold like Abaye with Inram Nechunya ben Akana, nonetheless, you're potter because you're chayev on the mamon because it is no kamele rabine, because it's not simultaneous. Yaakov.
In the first case, Kip and Isa, who's the one putting it in his mouth?
His friend.
His friend's putting it in his
Is his friend were the owner of the truma, I'm going to assume for the moment that we know chiyav, he gave it to him.
Okay,
it's a third party. Now you're going to ask me the question, what about the third party being chayav on the geneva? So I'll give you one of two possibilities. Either he's magbiya amanashlo and liknos, or more certainly in a chanami, he is chayav, but so are you. And we spoke about this yesterday. If one person steals, another person goes ahead and eats it, so the ganav can collect from the nignav can collect from either one. Right, so in this case, we'd be saying that you can't collect. If we had a kamei rabine, can't collect from the guy who ate it, except that it's not simultaneous. So that's the Gemara's question. Right, and the Gemara, by the way, had another option that Mishonim point out, which ultimately it didn't use. I suggested, why didn't you say that he picks it up al manashlo lignos, and it's only when he actually chooses it that. You can't say I'm not Kohen anymore because you're Masik at that point. It's no longer Ba'olam. Why did the Gemara just suggest that he got down on the floor and slurped it up? And the answer is the Gemara could have said that, but still you would have come down. In other words, Tachav lo chaver lo toch piv, magbi al manashe lo liknos, and Gach and Viachil would all reach the same point. Very nice. So now you're not Kohen before it gets in your mouth, but now that it's in your mouth, there's going to be an issue. So that's where the Gemara, now that it's where the Kasha, the Gemara, emerges from that. So now the Gemara's answer is, go ahead. Okay, so the Gemara says that no, it's not that his friend stuck it into his mouth. His friend stuck it into his throat. Sound like a whole lot of fun, but it's like the tongue depressor, like the strep culture thing. It's someone else stuffing in it. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but okay. Tachav lo chaver lo toch beis ablia. And therefore, what problem does that solve? What's that? So how does it solve? Let's just shoot the shofar and leave the iriyat. How does that solve the problem? The kidney problem? Because he didn't chew it. He didn't chew it. So it's in his throat, and now he swallows it. So when is he mischayev? When is he chai misa? When he swallows it. And when is he kona it? Presumably when he swallows it as well. That's what the Gemara thinks unthinkingly for a moment. Okay, but now the Gemara says, hold on. What's going on here? What?
Wouldn't it be honest for both of them?
Well, so that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. It's exactly... So firstly, it might be that he did it willingly. If he did it willingly, here's the deal. If I have a yen for bacon, I can't have you take it on a stick, shove it into my throat and swallow it, assuming that one would even get so much hana. I'm not sure we won't get such hana. You don't say that, therefore, sorry, you did it. You're not chayiv because you didn't eat it. I'm not chayiv because I'm honest because you stuck it in my throat. Like, no, that doesn't work that way. If you do it, if I ask you to do it, I do it voluntarily, I'm chayiv for the achila. Okay, so assuming for the moment that he permitted his friend, which is machlokas harishonim, he permitted his friend to stick it in. So then you're not going to ask Akasha, why is he chai misa? He's chai misa because he did voluntarily. So the question would then be, so that before we read on in the Gemara, what would the din be legaben? Here's the interesting part. Let's say I did it voluntarily and my friend stuck it into my throat. Okay, who would be chayiv on the mamonos? Before we talk about so why do you say the friend?
Because the friend sort of like destroyed it or did a shinui or whatever.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
If putting it in the beis habliya means that I don't have a choice for the moment, it sounds like I don't, especially with the Meiri's Girsa, but if it sounds like I haven't done anything to it yet, and assuming I don't have the ability to spit it out, so then, my friend has done everything. And I am pater on the mamon. Why? Not because of kom le d'ravine, but rather because I didn't do anything. By the time I get around to swallowing this object, it's gone already. Because once he puts it in my throat, it's gone. Can't do anything about it. But if that's true, so it's true that the guy is, that I'm high, let's say I did it baratzon. So it's true that I'm high misa. It's also true that I'm pater on the mamon, but I'm not pater on the mamon. Why? I'm not pater because of kamed rabbi, in which case it's not an afkamina between Abai and Rava. because Rava, because Abaye would be, Rava would be Mota in this case on Potter, not because of Kamle Ravine, because the other guy did the damage, not me. Now, of course, that's predicated upon an assumption that once he puts it in my throat, it's for all intents and purposes gone from the world, and therefore, whatever happens is on an object that no longer exists. And in fact, one can go a step further, as Tosus will say, what about the fact that I am Nana? Doesn't matter. If your object is gone, if it's no longer accessible to you, it's Hefker. See, if I put my wheat down, my barley down, in the Rosh HaRabim, and an animal eats it, at the time I put it down, that is not, it's Ba'olam. The fact that your animal eats it, you got Hana, and in this case, I'm Nechsar, to keep it simple, Zechoser, Zechoser, so I have to pay the Hana, because when your animal ate it, it was extant. However, if I will mafkir my barley before your animal eats it, how much do you have to pay me? Nothing. Why? Because it's Hefker. It's not yours anymore. It's not, in this case, if when the other person does something to it, it is simply no longer accessible, somebody takes your glass and throws your glass object, and there's a famous Gemara. I don't remember what the Maskana is, though. Someone takes your china dish and throws it off the roof. And I take a baseball bat and I smash it before it hits the concrete floor.
In that case, about Kama, if you throw a baby off the roof and someone's holding his beer on the same case.
It might be the same thing, although you have to make sure that the baby's vadai going to die, but yes. So I think we say that mana tavir tavar, that you're potter. And so in this case, once the food is in my throat, it's gone. Assuming that I can't spit it, I'm assuming for the moment that if the Gemara's kasha was, why didn't he, instead of he chewed it as opposed to spitting it out, so here the assumption is that I can't spit it out. And therefore, it's avod min ha'olam, which might be the Gemara's kasha. So now let's read on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, hold on, if somebody sticks it in my throat, so what's the deal here? Okay, so if the person can, the mahader, can push it out, so then, nihader, what does that mean? And therefore, what's that? So to use the, I'll use the Meiri's concept, that would work well. If it's in a place where I have a choice to spit it out and I choose to leave it in my throat before I've even swallowed it, so then I'm kona right then. But I'm not chayef. It's no different than if you put it in my mouth where I could spit it out. Instead, I choose to chew it. Here, I choose to keep it there. And therefore, I'm chayev. It won't work as well if you assume l'isa mitam shinoi and nesek and so on, because when is it my throat? When would I be kona? Other than when I swallow it, which would be perfectly our case. So I'm going to assume for the moment, just to keep it simple, assume like the Meiri, that in other words, if I have a choice to expel it from my throat, so then, and it's extant, and it's normal, it's the way it was, just like it was in my mouth, I didn't chew it. So then, I'm choosing to be kona right now before I swallow it. So it's not simultaneous. What?
Is that different from Rashi's presentation?
Yes.
How?
No. So, well, one second. Well, Rashi doesn't explain that Mehishate says Iumazikla.
The Gehilo Ahadra.
Correct. No, the point is, how is he masik it then until he swallows it?
Because he's kona.
Rashi, but Rashi is masik, not kinin. That's an important question. I don't know unless Rashi already knows the following. Unless Rashi is assuming the following, the next step in the, unless Rashi assumes that the Gemara already envisioned three possibilities. One is Efshar La'adure, The second is Efshar Lahadure Bidayat Chak, which what it really means for the Mefarshim on the page. There's a very interesting ritva. We'll talk about not today. But what it means for the Mefarshim on the page is that when it reaches the stage that it's difficult to be Mahader, it's Nifsad already. And then the third stage is when it's Efshar Lahadure. So Rashi could have envisioned the following, that if it's at a stage where you could be Mahader it, when you start to swallow it, what happens then? Before you've actually swallowed it, it then moves into the phase of Eshel Adure only Adayat Chak, meaning it's Nifsad before it actually gets to the point of being unregurgitatable. In other words, you move it from Eshel Adure easily, where it's still perfectly good and you could spit out and anybody would eat it. It then moves further down where at that point it's disgusting.
Josh doesn't care about returning it. Yes, he
does. He does. He says, V'chilo Ahadre, because you
no,
did.
No, I mean,
well, he does. The whole point, the continuation of the Gemara for Rashi will be, is that if Ayyadad Chak is that even if you were to be Mahadir, it would be Maus. And therefore, it's not Chazi Labailim, and therefore you're not responsible to be Mazakin. And all you're Chaya for is the Hanas Meayim. The Kasha for Rashi is going to be Zenenev Zelochosa.
That's even in the Habimi.
You only be chai of what? No.
Since we had this conversation yesterday, from the first line of the Gemara, he assumes the second.
No, because look at the next part. The Rishon Lav Mide Ovid Velonis Chayev Lakoin Klum. In the first Rashi, Shetochav Lo Chaveiro, it hasn't occurred to Rashi, and it seems not to have occurred to him until the Gemara asked the Kasha that you could spit it out and it would be perfectly fine. But when it gets to the question of, and I don't know why not, but when it gets to Ayyadei, and when you have to boil the ladur, he says, V'chilo ahadrim ayishayta iu mazikla, the rishon lav mi de ovid velon ischayiv lekoen klum. That Rashi's dibo maskli boil the ladur. That's we're now in the last part of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, if it's spittable out, if it's not spittable out, so on Iboila, if it's spittable out, Iboila la dure, and when he didn't do it, he's mazikit, and the other guy did nothing, and his loan is chayav l'kohen klum.
So he's chayav for all of it at that point?
What's that?
He's chayav for the whole thing?
Correct.
So Rashi before that?
Rashi before that didn't realize that when he put it in his mouth, and what changes for the Gemara is the Gemara originally thought you put it in your mouth, and you really can't spit it out. It's not really, you're not, the other guy already damaged putting in your mouth. That's what Rashi assumed. Shetachav lo chavera. I think. I mean, wait, I'm not sure how he does say Hana there, but he says, by the way, he says beferish. He says beferish lonis, that the first one is lonis chayv lekoin klum.
Right, I understand, but so that's a problem, because he's at the first Rashi,
I agree. So I say in the first part, Rashi thought that once the guy puts it in your mouth, he's being mazikit on some level. No one else would want to eat it. But when you get hana, then you're chayav for the hana part. Here, the Gemara realizes that putting it in your mouth actually doesn't render it edible. And if you were to spit it out without having chewed it, and without having pushed it far enough in your throat, it would be perfectly fine.
So the change in the Gemara is that it discovers people will eat stuff that was...
Yeah, it is odd. It's a very odd way of explaining it. I'm not going to argue, but that's what Rashi sounds like he says. There is always a possibility, which I'm not going to suggest because I have no evidence, is that there are two Maduras of Rashi in theory in many parts of Shas, and sometimes our edition of Rashi is a mixture of the two. So, I don't know, yeah?
Is it true?
That what? It depends how far down it was. That's that's the way Rashi, and Tosos doesn't contest that point.
Why does Rashi need to say it like that? Rashi, why does he feel compelled to make this distinction with Gemara? Why isn't he just by Shetefer L'Chavero that he's chayiv for the Nezer to the first place? Why does he need to say Dapa? You still have the same flow of the Gemara. You say Shetefer L'Chavero.
You don't know,
I think he's swallowing it at the same time as he's stealing it by swallowing
it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why he feels compelled to go in that direction. It would have been sufficient to say, again, unless once the Gemara says miboy leladure, which it says more something like that. In other words, lase came in the lase kanye means, hey, wait. He didn't have to chew it. He chose to chew it, and instead of spitting it out, and the Gemara realizes at that point that if he spit it out, then the original owner could take it back. So Rashi at that point may understand, and maybe he's not thinking like Tosas. Maybe Rashi's assuming that what's the din in the following case? The Gemara in Bava Kama that we quoted yesterday, that I quoted yesterday, that Tosas quotes, at the beginning of the 10th parak, states the following. I don't remember, I wanted to see the formulation. Gozav alone is Yashu Bailim, Baachar Va'acholo. There's a word be menu in here. And I don't know whether Acholo means against the Rishus or not. So, Ratzem Izeva Gova, Ratzem Izeva Gova. The question is, what would the din be if I. What would the din be if I stole something but you then went ahead and destroyed it? Who would be Chayef?
You stole something.
But that you destroyed it. And I could have returned it. Right? Is that only if? Is that true only if? My question is: Would that only be true if you did it with permission, or even with if you did it without permission?
Your case, why not? If you did it with permission, then you're showing it. If you did it without permission,
well, you could not even be showing; just be with permission.
Permission
from the goslin. In other words, the goslin can't say I'm potter because you damaged the property because he gave him it to eat, as opposed to, let's say, the guy came along and stole from the goslin, in effect.
Oh,
what
yeah,
would it then be there?
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters. But I was wondering, in terms of Rashi, is Rashi working with that Gemara or not?
Maybe what it has to do with is Rashi making a distinction between a mazik and a gemara. Because he mentions it in the second Rashi.
No. It's worse. Ganav is worse than Mazik.
So there is no Ganav in the case in Rashi by Leladur.
No, the Ganav would presumably be the original guy.
He didn't even steal it.
So why in the previous Rashi? You're going to Hadron Kushal Duchta. He didn't steal it either. He's stuck in your mouth. That's the problem. I don't know. So anyway, so possibility one, the Gemara says, is that if it's Matzila Dureini Hader and you haven't solved anything, the fact that he's stuck in your Beis Abliya is not any different than sticking it in your mouth. Okay, that we understand. In other words, whatever should have been in the previous din, in other words, if the way Rashi says, you're going to be Chayiv there, you're going to be Chayiv here. Because when you choose, now, again, what's the stage, what are you Chayiv for? Ibayla Dure, okay, fine, so you're Chayiv, I get that, but why don't you say it's simultaneous? So ready your base ablia, since you can be mahaderit, and you're not, what is it that you do? What is it that you do that's mechayev you to pay the mamon, but apparently is not at the same time as you're swallowing it? Because the whole point, if you were chayev to pay in ibayle ladure, and therefore you're chayev, but you're potter because you get misa at the same time, that's exactly what we're looking for. So obviously ibayle ladure means, and you're chayev to pay the mamon. Why you chayiv to pay the mamon? So what? The fact that you didn't regurgitate it is not why you chayiv to pay the mamon. Why not? Because you never chayiv to pay as a masik for not doing something. It's always something that you did.
Are you sure?
You're never chayiv.
Why not?
You're not chayiv for passive nezek by definition. Failure to do something will not be mechayiv you. It's something that you did. That's mechayiv you always. That's grama in effect. It's like a grama. You didn't do anything. Poshea still needs to be he still needs to do something. So the answer, that's what I was explaining before Teshua. I assume what it means is that when he chooses to then move it in throat position from Efshar Ladure to E Efshar Ladure, and at that point he renders it, or I would say when he moves it to Efshar Ladure de Adchak, the way Rashi would say, at that point it's a mimas, it's disgusting, and at that point he still could spit it out, so he's not Chayim Misa yet. But since it's most now, he was mazik it, he's chayv the mammon right now. So that's why the Gemara says you won't be potter even according to Abaye, but come and rabbi
minei. Even though Ahadrabah, he shaitz yomazik. From the time, not that he does it, even from the time that he decides that he doesn't.
But how is he mazik it? If it's
but
just.
That's what Rashi's saying.
It means when he moves it the next inch, since he could have not moved it the next inch. That's all he means. I think that's
pashut.
He's not chayv just because it's there.
He's not doing anything. It's in his throat that happens to be slowly going down his.
Because he chooses to make it slowly go down.
No.
Okay. Let's go on to the next step. Go ahead, Yaakov. So if the guy puts it in your throat in a place where even if it doesn't happen in an instant, it's going to go down and there's no way to get it out. So why is he chayef? So the question is, why is he chayef what? It either is why is he actually chayef misa, or why would I have thought that he's the two choices, just definitionally. Why would I have thought that he would have been chayef mamon if not for kam lebi the rabbi mina that you say now this is the case Abaye is talking about. Right? It could be either those two, or it could be both. So let's take a look at Rashi for a moment. The ido lamatzel ledura mechayev. Yaakov. He's honest. What was he supposed to do? In other words, of course, the obvious answer that Tosus jumps up and down and screams at Rashi is, if you open your mouth and you say, could you please put a piece of chaylev in my throat, if you would so kindly do so, and now you stick it in my throat in a way that I can't force it back out, and the only thing that can happen is swallow it, I can't say, oh, it's not my fault. He put it in my throat. There was nothing I could do. Of course I could. Don't ask him to put it in your throat. Close your mouth. So, that would have been an answer, but Rashi and if you believe that what's going on Baratzon was here Baratzon, then the Gemara's question on my chayiv is not on the Misa. What would it be on? It would be on if lo matzi ladure. What's on my chayiv? On the mamon. Why would he be pato on the mamon? Because the other guy was the one who damaged the property. He put it into a place. It's like the other guy is the one who took the money and dropped it off the cliff. And took the property and dropped it off the cliff. When you put it in my throat directly where I cannot push it back, if I can push it back out, then somebody else could eat it. So when I choose to swallow it for the moment, whatever it is, I'm choosing to do that, I'm damaging. But if you put it in a place where I cannot spit it back out, it's basically you are ma'abed, the food. Because there's only one place it's going into my stomach. When it gets to my stomach, we're done. Even the Gemara that says that it's Roish Shelo B'fanav, I don't know if anybody would say once it really hits the... Well, I mean, the Gemara in Chul and Kuf Gimel suggest even in the stomach you could eat it again, but normally I think that even the masticators would probably draw the line at food that entered the stomach and was then spit out. And once only... Now, I'm sure it's very, very appetizing with a little bit of hydrochloric acid and rennet mixed in with it. Yes, Sam?
I'm skipping it, but according to that reading,
yeah.
Then why wouldn't there be Hanas Me'av?
Why would there not be Hana'as Me'av? So the answer is that if you mafkir your Sa'orim in the Rosh Hasharam, you mamish mafkir them, then there's no, it's not zenenev zechaser or zelochaser, it's not yours anymore. The whole discussion, even if zenenev zelochaser, is I live in your courtyard, I don't normally rent, you don't normally rent it out, I just live in your courtyard, I could have lived somewhere else. So there, it's your property. But once it's not your property anymore, you can't talk about Hana'ah. It's Hefka. The other guy threw it off the cliff. At that point, it's like I took a nice juicy steak off the cliff. When he throws it off the cliff, it's already essentially Hefka. It's Yeir Shbailim, it's over. And I come along in my hand glider that nobody saw, and I snatch that piece of meat out of the air, it's that sumptuous piece of meat, and I swallow it. We don't say that first thing would be Zenan of Zechaser. It's not Zenan of Zechaser. The meat doesn't hefker. It's avud, mina olad. Right. So the same thing here. Once it's in a place where it's going to get out to my stomach, at that point it's avud mina olam. So the hana can't mean anything. The Zenana doesn't mean anything. Okay? Fine. So the Gemara says, what's going on? So now the Gemara comes up with a new category. What is the new category? Go ahead. Ah, so it's efshar ladure. So the way Rashi would say is that if I can forcibly expel it from my throat, so at that point, it's efshar ladure, and thus, what problem does that solve?
For Rashi?
The misa problem. You're saying I had no choice. It wasn't my. Let's say, and let's assume for Rashi it means chaver is toche lo isabil bal karcho. Doesn't matter. I could have spit it out. It might have been hard, but I could have done it. And if I choose to swallow it, that's intentional. Now, what about now? So now we have to explain. What about the mamonos part? Why am I chay of mamon but potter only because of kamlei b'derav hamineh? So, first step is if I had a choice to swallow it. A choice to spit it out, and I choose to swallow it. We just said nahadre. I should have spit it out. So the chi of mamon comes before the chi of misa. So the answer is no. Rashi explains ayedad chak. Why am I not chai of mamon for choosing to swallow it? Go ahead. The e. Because even if I worm a hadere, once you put it that far down in the throat that it requires to push it out, that's really disgusting. And the Bayan Lamar, Tosfos says right now, Rashi says, Bayan Lamar not going to eat it. Meaning it's ma'us already. And therefore, I'm not the one who's mazik it. The guy who stuck it that far down in my throat was mazik it. Therefore, I'm patan and hesek. Now, of course, the only question is, but I have to be chayef, so mamon for something, or kamli drabine when I swallow it. So Rashi says, I didn't do the gzela. I didn't do the ash of the hesek. The guy who stuck it in my throat that far down did it. What? Why Rashi goes back and forth, I don't know. I assume it's one and the same. I mean, this is an act of hesek through gezel. There's gzela going on here. It's not hesek normally means I don't take it into my rishus and I don't benefit from it. So it's the same thing here. Amai kamachai helcha migzela gazla. Amai kamachai vislei b'tashlumin. So why would we be mechayiv b'tashlumin? The hana of grona umeav, which is what's and that he says ahi shaita. So that's the same time you're chayiv on hanas grona umeav, and that's when the Shas Misa comes. Now, according to Rashi, though, you have to ask the question, so then why is he chayev on the mamon? I just answered, Sam, your question before by explaining that it's not ba'olam anymore. So the answer is that because it's iboy, if he wanted to, he can mahadar it, it still is ba'olam. It's damaged goods, but it's ba'olam. And therefore, when I am nene from your goods that are ba'olam, even though they're damaged, I have to pay for the hana that I get. I'm not chayiv as a gaslan. I'm not chayiv for the damage. I didn't do the damage. But I am chayiv for the hana that I get because the object is still ba'olam. Once it's in a position where I can no longer expel it, so that is not ba'olam anymore. But right now, if he puts it in a place, the matzi la'duri yadei adchak, it's niza, but it's ba'olam. We're going to stop here. I'm going to leave just one observation, one kasha I have on this statement of Rashi. I think I explained it nicely and I fooled you. But there's one minor problem. If I'm mazik the property, is it really still ba'olam or is that a shinui? And it's not. Another, the whole, what's the idea of a shinui? If I steal your object and I make a shinui in it, why am I konet? Why am I, more importantly, why am I not chayef to return the object I stole from you? It's no longer extant. It's panim chadashas ba'olakan. Right, if I take your wood and I cut it up and I build a nice desk out of it, okay, it's no longer the same wood. It's panim chadashas ba'olakan. So it's not ba'olam anymore. So apparently here you have to say that even though it's damaged and it's not like la'ase would probably be a shinui gamur. It's not ba'olam. Here it's nizak, but it's still ba'olam. It's like if I take your car, would anyone say, there's a great cha, I love you have this beautiful, beautiful Jaguar F-Type. I don't know much about cars, but my younger son loves cars. So I have a Jaguar F-Type. And you have a unique one. It was very special. It was driven by James Bond, whatever he drove. I don't know what he drove. Aston Martin, that's right. He likes Aston Martins too, but he's very infatuated with the British cars. Okay? I hope British cars are better than British cooking. So uh, So anyway, I want your Aston Martin. So you know what I do? I steal it. Ah, but it's not going to help me steal it because they're going to find me. Okay? The Dayanam are going to find me and make me return it again. So you know what I do? I crash it into a wall ever so slightly. I make a few dents in it. Now, big deficit there. So I'll say, okay, look, I have to pay you. I take out my checkbook, I write you a check for $972,000, but I can't return the object ban because it's not ban anymore. So Mistama, the answer to that question is that it's still ban. Right? Until it's Nifsad Lagamraya, on some level, until it's really, firstly, it's Chozel B'Yar, so you bring it to the mechanic, he'll fix it. So here, maybe we say that the amount of damage, the Mimas aspect on the Ochel doesn't mean it's Panim Chadash Espalukan. If you say that, so then Rashi makes sense, at least after we explain that. Okay, so that's how Rashi would explain things. Tomorrow, we're going to have to read through the Tosafim. I may send you, there's a very interesting Ritva. It's a short one, so I should send you that as well. And then we will try to finish this part up, and that will be probably as far as we get before Yom Tov. And I know I owe you Chazara questions. And even though I have to have the extension until Sukkot, you'll get them before Sukkot, if not before Yom Kippur. Okay. There are some that have been typed already, but I want to just do them all.
The yeshiva, like...